the button has once again, for the first time, been pressed.
Okay. Well, it's Sunday, and I'm Ellie, and that means it's time for Plus Ultra once again. Welcome to Season 2, Fallen Empires.
I am, as stated, Ellie, and with me tonight are Beth, Crash, and Io. Jen will be joining us when they can.
The world called Duran is unstable. For reasons known only to the gods, the magic inherent in the world does not simply wait to be controlled. It is the dominant force in Duran, and would run rampant if not for the presence of a moderating element, one that keeps the world habitable and sensible, most of it. The great dragons were created at the beginning of time to guide, control, and temper the magic of the world. Each of them represents an aspect of Duran and its magic, and each of them is responsible for and embodies that aspect as long as they live. And they do die. A great dragon is long lived by mortal standards, but they have lifespans lasting somewhere between 500 and 1,000 years. When the great dragons feel that their time is coming, they congregate and create a brood of eggs, the new generation of great dragons to whom they will teach their wisdom and the way of the magic. Then, as with all things, they will die, and their mantles will pass to their successors. Each new generation of great dragons is distinct from its elders, though, and more often than not, they take a different approach to the magic. This has unpredictable effects on how the world's magic behaves. Even the tamest horse is uncertain with a new rider. And as a result, those who rely on it for worldly power and influence sometimes find themselves bereft of the ability to retain their station once a new generation of great dragons emerges. The history of Duran is littered with the ruins of empires, the thought that this time they would rule forever. The great dragons have just come to the end of their lives. The new great dragonlings, who will assume their parents' mantle, have hatched from their years-long incubation, and their fading predecessors now teach them the history of the world and the weight of their new responsibilities. But the new great dragonlings are not their parents. And as with all generations of great dragons, the way they represent the world and its magic is not the way their ancestors did. Everything is about to shift as they assume their full power, and the world holds its collective breath as they wait to see what will change. In the midst of this chaos, some adventurers, let's call them that, have chosen to go out into the world and find out what's left of the previous empires by delving into ruins and bringing back whatever treasure and knowledge they can. This is their story. And now, why don't you introduce yourselves?
Which of us should go first? I'll go first. Okay. I'm Io. In the previous arc, you'll have known me as Devin. In this arc, I'm playing Steinan. She is a tough Eldgrove warrior who wields an enchanted weapon. She also has the magic flavor. Specifically, she uses the sword that was passed down to her by her ancestors as a casting focus, basically. It still contains some of what they put into it, even if it was forged in a different era of magic.
The Groover are actually two related species. The half-Groover, somewhat taller and fatter, with more blue-silver skin and the ability to hold their breath indefinitely, who live in the ocean surrounding the minor continent to the southeast. And the Eldgrover, shorter and leaner, with gray-red skin and a tolerance for high temperatures, who live in the mountains along the northern half of the continent. The half-Groover builds cities that extend above and below water, with trapped air sections for air breathers to inhabit, and underwater sections for the half-Groover and those with the magic to withstand the pressure and lack of air. Eldgrover cities are vast complexes built into the mountains, where it's easy to get lost if you don't have their sense of direction. Beth, I think you're next.
I have Tamilin. Tamilin is a graceful warrior who carries a quiver and is also a Sar Egglayer. Did I pronounce that right?
Yes.
They have basically three. They have ones who lay the eggs, they have the ones who fertilize the eggs, and then they have the ones who care for the eggs. And the egg layers can basically lay eggs and then criff off to do whatever they want. Tamilin has, in fact, criffed off to do something and is not with a group and therefore is not even laying eggs right now, but she's okay with that. She is finding adventure and wealth, and maybe she'll find a clan or something in one of these days when, you know, rich, famous, or at least just tired of wandering around. Then she'll settle down and lay eggs again.
Asari are reptilian humanoids from the southern half of the western continent. Your cities are built in the enormous trees that scrape the sky, and the networks of bridges that connect them can span dozens of miles. The Asari are sexually trimorphic, with fertilizing, egg-laying, and egg-tending varieties. Each has its own specialties in society, as well as in childbirth, and their appearances reflect their focuses. Egg-laying Asari are about 6.5 to 7 feet tall at full height, with greenish scales covering their bodies. They have a humanoid face with reptilian features and small ears, and the lower half of their body transitions into a snake's body. They can stand and move upright if they choose. Their fingers end in short claws that aid in climbing, but not in combat. And Crash.
Hello, I am Crash, otherwise known as the Button Pusher, and I am playing Hugh Carter, who is, I'm Hugh. I'm apparently an impulsive human adept who uses wild magic. I didn't know this until recently. I just thought that everyone could do the things that I was doing or see the things that I was seeing. Like, for example, did you know your sword is on fire? Or am I just seeing an aura on it? Is it on fire?
It's kind of on magic fire when I use it.
Okay, because I've seen fires on things before that weren't on fire, and I was told to stop playing around. Usually fire is not blue, so that threw me off.
I mean, it's not always visibly on fire, but I mean, it's full of magic, so.
Okay, well, I'm glad that we've reached this baseline. My job is going to be driving the cart, because I'm a delivery person by trade, moving packages from one town to another. Let's not ask what happened to the last shipment, because I don't know. I kind of got distracted, and then when I looked behind me, they were all gone. So, I hear that adventuring pays well. I owe a lot of money. And apparently, since I can do magic, kinda sorta, didn't know that that was special. Maybe I can be an adventurer. So, yay, adventuring. Let's go on an adventure.
And get paid?
And get paid, yes. This is the easy work, right? This isn't something where, like, people come out and try to murder you regularly?
Don't worry. If anyone tries to murder you, I will shoot them with my arrows.
Oh, so there will be murdering. Okay. Well,
yeah, probably.
I would have second thoughts about this.
But you owe a lot of money.
And the people I owe money to don't know I owe them money yet, because they're still waiting for me to deliver the packages. So, yeah.
Right. Well, we do need something to travel with and hopefully to carry back things. It's a bit difficult to carry back a lot of interesting things to civilization if you have to strap it to your tail.
Well, you won't need to do that because we've got Mildred here. We're not strapping anything to Mildred's tail. Oxes don't like that. But I have this cart that Mildred is strapped to. And Mildred can pull a lot of weight. I'd say she pulls her own weight, and she does. She also pulls a lot more than that. You will be able to walk faster than her, but you won't be able to carry more than her.
I don't walk.
You would still be able to walk faster than her.
Nor does Tamilin kick the ball. She has no feet. Respect, Garada. No, sorry. I'm sorry, Ellie.
That's fine. Humans are the cultural heirs to a series of fallen cultures whose ruins, sometimes still inhabited, can be found scattered across the northern plain and tundra of the eastern continent. The most recent of these fell within living memory, and civilization is still not unified in its wake. Although individuals and groups of humans have ventured to the other landmasses on Duran, serious historical attempts to colonize other landmasses, including expanding to the south through Tawadi lands, have generally ended in failure and sometimes death. Humans are between 5 and 6 feet tall. Their head is about a seventh of their height. Their skin is somewhere between deep brown and pale pink. Their hair is somewhere between black and very pale yellow. If they're masculine, they may also have hair on their cheeks, chin, and upper lip. Their eyes can be any number of colors, but both of them are typically the same color. So, what are you doing here, you might ask? That's a good question. The truth is you've been paid.
Good.
Someone has approached all three of you, either separately or together, and told you that they have heard that there is a ruin in this area. They would like to find out what's inside it, and they are willing to pay you. What they would like you to do is bring back all the treasure you can carry and all the knowledge you can find. What your payment comes out of the treasure, and they also expect copies of all of the knowledge.
Is there anything up front?
Yes, you've been given a stipend to get you there.
Excellent.
Get you food and supplies. They are beyond your payment. They are willing to split the treasure with you 40-60. But they do expect all of a copy at least of all of the knowledge. They put it that way, and it sounds kind of odd. All of the knowledge.
We will do our best.
And you have arrived at a clearing in a forest. Oh, and your employer has said there may be a fourth to join you, but they're completing something else and they'll be along shortly.
I have no token with visibility in this scene.
Hmm. You should.
Oh, I have a token. It just has no visibility. Let me see if there's anything fancy about the token I can... Token vision. Vision enabled. Let's see if I have vision enabled here.
When I check that box, it makes my icon visible, but the map is still a void.
I have vision range in meters, 0, the distance that the token can see without any light. I think it's a map. Map! Vision!
We're in the woods.
You are.
And my token needs to rotate. There.
My token does not rotate.
Your image is backwards, Beth.
I'm about to fix that. I thought I had done that to my default. Thought I fixed my prototype token so it wouldn't do this. Hmm. Shape, image, fit mode, anchor, mirror image.
Anyway, your cart can easily come through the path that you took to get here. This is a clearing in sort of a, what's the word for that? Like, you know, it's a roughly oval area with higher ground all around it.
Holler.
A hollow, yeah.
Or possibly, technically, a holler.
Yeah, well, okay.
I thought it was a depression.
Depends on whether or not you're in the south. it's a fairly pleasant clearing. There is a standing stone in the center with a carved curving design on one side of it. And to the east side of the clearing, next to a fallen log, there is the ruins of a cart.
I cover my cart's eyes and tell it not to look. I do not do that.
Well, we should see what the cart had in it in case the cart was attempting to take something away. I would like to poke my way through the cart a bit. The ruins.
In the ruined cart, there is... Eo, can you see the map okay? I just realized I hadn't heard from you.
Oh, yes, I can see the map.
Okay, just making sure. In the ruins of the cart are some decaying, you know, food, water, some camping gear that has seen much, much better days. You would not recognize it as camping gear, except that you're looking.
I become concerned about what happened to the person who brought this cart. Should I perhaps scout about? Do I even have scouting? No. Timelin will check the perimeter.
Okay. Well, now that Timelin has written themselves out of the campaign.
No. By check the perimeter, I mean the perimeter of the... Not Sorry, that so... check the perimeter. No. Not the final check the perimeter. All the other check the perimeters. The mid-series check the perimeters.
I'm going to assume that's a reference and...
Murder bot.
I have many things that are on my list of things to watch, so I haven't added Murderbotch to it. With that
it's said, very good.
There are many things that are very good that I have not added to my list of things to watch because the list is so long right now. With that said, how big is the standing stone that I'm in front of?
Taller than you are.
Taller than 10 foot?
No, it's about 8 feet.
Okay. I would like to use scan.
Okay.
It's 2 intellect
you
points.
You may use scan.
I have an edge of 1, so that's going to cost you 1 intellect point. You scan an area equal in size to a 10-foot cube, including all objects or creatures within that area. The area must be within short range. That's why I walk right up to it. Scanning a creature or object always reveals its level. You also learn whatever facts the GM feels are pertinent about the matter and energy in that area. For example, you might... So many dice being rolled. I love it.
Sorry.
No, it's good. Okay. It's excellent. You also learn whatever facts GM feels are pertinent about the matter and energy in that area. For example, you might learn that the wooden box contains a device of metal and plastic. You might learn that the glass cylinder is full of poisonous gas. I really hope this giant standing stone is not full of poisonous gas. That would be a reason for Ellie to make many rolls, but we're going to move forward here. And that its metal stand has an electrical field running through it that connects it to a metal mesh on the floor. You might learn that the creature standing before you is a mammal with a small brain. However, this ability doesn't tell you what the information means. Thus, in the first example, you don't know that the metal and plastic device what the metal plastic device does. In the second, you don't know if stepping on the floor causes the cylinder to release the gas. In the third, you might suspect that the creature is not very intelligent, but scans like looks can be deceiving. Many materials and energy fields prevent or resist scanning. And now I have bought enough time for Ellie to tell me what I find out.
The stone is clearly magic and has some... You don't sense any mechanisms inside or any... Like, it is... Fundamentally, it's just a stone, but it seems like it's waiting for something. You were given a sheet of parchment that had an invocation on it, but your employer just said, you'll need this, and then muttered, not sure it'll work anyway. So that might be what the stone is waiting for. It might not. You didn't get a whole lot of understanding of what to expect, except that you're pretty sure this was a human ruin?
Okay.
We should probably take note of whatever inscriptions might be on the rock before we start changing them by reading things at it.
It is just the carving that you see here.
Nevertheless, if we have some sort of note-taking thing, and I would hope we had something.
Yeah.
Timulin will...
We do a charcoal rubbing. For listeners at home, the graphic on the stone appears to look like Celtic knotwork.
Damelin was just going to draw the thing, but if someone wants to make a charcoal rubbing, then that's... they'll have to give her a boost, probably, to get up there.
Actually, Damelin, you can probably... If you reach it at your full height, you can probably reach it.
Well, yes, but I want someone to steady me. I mean, I'm a snick, not a...
Fair.
I might need to lean on someone.
But... If you pull up to your full height while still staying stable on the ground, you're 6.5 to 7 feet tall.
Uh-huh.
And the stone
what
itself
is saying like, is, you're the one
you
we
could
asked
reach
to
up
get
and,
something.
Yeah.
From the top.
You could reach up and grab the top of the stone without any issue. This is not a tall, tall stone.
All right. If someone wants to hand me the paper and the charcoal, I will make a rubbing while I have draped myself across the top of this stone with my tail. Thank you. With her tail sort of looped snakily to either side to stabilize her. Sure, we will make a charcoal rubbing of the thing. And someone should probably try to draw the pattern that's in the grass around us, because I do perceive one, which Tamilin might only notice once she's up there.
Okay. I'm not going to make you roll for this. This is...
We're recording knowledge.
Yeah, this is a really basic...
Mm-hmm. After that, I will hop down and get... trying to decide if I want to be outside this little ring of stuff when the thing is red or inside it? I'm thinking outside.
Probably best to be outside of it just in case. I mean,
probably.
Things aren't working the way they used to, so it might be that just nothing happens. It could be that something nice ends up being something really bad. Like, I can't change the color of apples the same way I used to anymore. Now it just makes them explode. I've learned
that
I can make apples explode.
The pair of you might want to step back from the circle a bit, because, Hugh, I do believe that there are... I believe there's an outer circle around what we can see, and you're within it.
Hugh will try to position himself so that he's just outside of the outer circle. So close, but not too close. He is going to read this invocation casually.
Okay. You read out the invocation, and there is a rumbling sound from the exit. I was trying to open your character sheet and click on a different map.
Oops.
Klaatu Varada Necktie. Necktie.
The inscription on the stone lights up blue, and it begins to settle into the earth. It's a good thing you backed away from the stone when you read the invocation, because those rings around the stone are concentrically falling down. Not falling, but like lowering into the earth to provide a stairway down. And at the far side, there is a doorway.
Well, I confess to some concern about whether this is going to stay open.
Well, if it closes, I can always try to make the entrance explode like an apple.
That's true.
I mean, I haven't tried it on anything other than apples, but I could give it a go.
Useful, especially if whoever left that other cart didn't have that ability.
I will tell you that.
Let's try and wedge it open somehow.
If you have
the only light inside, seems to be the light coming from outside. So you're going to want to light something up like a torch.
I hope we have some torches. I'm not sure.
In fact, you does.
Oh, good.
Also, Steinan has a flaming sword.
This is also true. Also, I have a dark sight cipher.
Best to save that in case we are out of torches at some point.
Okay, that sounds good, but I've read a lot of stories about, you know, people who they end up defeating the big horrible monster and they still have like a potion that was given to them when they set out to go on the adventure. So, you know, I'm going to save it because you suggested it, but...
If we get lost in the darkness and the torches are a problem, then we will need the dark sight.
Okay. Okay, now a torch creates an area of... let me see this. It burns 1 hour, creating normal light in an immediate area and dim light for a short area beyond that. Where's my... cheat sheet, because of course I'm going to make my character glow, because dang it, it's silly to me.
Steinan, are you activating your sword to provide some light?
If that is a thing that I can do, then yes.
Steinan
will come up to the entrance. This is the entrance on the map, right?
It's underneath the standing stone. But...
Oh, okay.
Sank into the ground, and now it's made stairs.
I saw the mouth of something and misinterpreted underneath somehow as at the bottom of the map.
I understand. I actually considered making that the entrance and then decided that I didn't want to have to rotate all the maps. What?
Whoa.
That is a very bright torch. That is let's lower that. I lowered my intensity down and it still did it that much.
Hugh, what did you do to that torch?
So I soaked it in this thing called kerosene.
Oh dear.
It's supposed to make it light faster.
It certainly is lit harder.
It's very bright. Good job.
Well,
Is it going to explode?
I hope not. I'm not trying to change its color.
You fill me with confidence. Let's go.
Okay, I lowered its intensity to... If I lower it more, it disappears.
I see it now, I think.
And because Steinen... of the nature of it, it looks like my hat is glowing, but it's not.
Steinen points her sword into the entrance cautiously. All I'm saying is I think we could maybe shore it up somehow.
If you have a skill to do so, I would not mind. I really don't like that there is a destroyed, rotted cart over there and no body. It rather implies that someone went in and failed to come out.
I can try and rig something up. Going to need an axe, and maybe we can fell one of these trees. And
the cart's got a lot of scrap wood over here.
The rotted one? Oh, yeah, there is some wood on the ground.
There's a fallen tree, if it's...
It's not all soft.
There also appears to be a tree that's mostly dead over to one side.
Are you just hoisting that up and gonna stick it inside?
I do want to, chop it up a bit to fit better, etc.
Okay. Again, I'm not going to. Steinen
doesn't have specific skills in this, but I figure that she would understand this sort of thing about as much as most people would sort of be able to figure out, like, a lean-to if they had the time.
Gotcha.
Did you want to break it somewhere?
Not
over here. Wait, no.
What?
We are not going to blow up the tree.
Not the whole tree, no.
Now, that I would make you roll for. I was going to say that cutting up a tree with an axe is not something I am going to make you roll for, because success is just you cut up a tree with an axe, and failure wouldn't be particularly interesting.
Yeah.
And we're taking our time on this one. If we need more bits, we have a mostly dead tree over there, etc. So,
I'm going to pull something from D&D 3. You're taking 20.
Yeah. We'll take the time we need and construct something to try to wedge this thing open, or at the very least, make it obvious which way we went. Because they did say that hopefully they were going to send someone else after us.
Yes.
Let's make sure we've brought our food, our rations, and that our ox is in a safe location, as safe as possible, near the water, because I believe there's a little river, a little pond over at the south there.
Yeah, I'll unhitch Mabel
there can be.
From the cart so she can move around a little bit, but still, like, tie her off a bit so she can't wander too far.
She's trained enough that she'll stay where you put her, more or less. She'll stick with the cart.
Hugh's ability to be a delivery driver is not because of Hugh's skill. It's because Mabel knows where to go.
More or less.
Mabel is a vital part of this partnership.
I mean, you're an apprentice. So you got the ox that knows what she's doing.
Well, technically not an apprentice anymore, but only because the guy who was in charge was told, if you work through one more winter, it will be your last winter. So they retired.
Fair enough.
Hugh got the business because that meant that Hugh would have to take care of Mabel. And feed Mabel.
It takes you about half an hour to cut up the trees and cut up the branches and make a reinforcement for the entrance so that if something goes wrong and it closes up, it won't close up all the way.
So, you know, there's still a chance that it'll close up with enough force that it just cuts this in half.
Thank you for your reassurance.
There's a chance that we'll dig into a big pocket of sulfur or bad magic or something and everything will explode. We're going in there, or aren't we?
I guess we're going in there. It's where the data is, the information, the knowledge. that we are supposed to copy. I hope we brought enough papers and charcoal to make a lot of wall rubbings.
Okay. Just a moment. And I
will... rations.
Yeah.
All right. All in favor of letting the person with the giant sword that's on fire go first?
I suppose that would be a good idea. I do prefer to be a ranged combatant.
I kind of assumed that I was going first.
I prefer to not be a combatant. Can we opt for that first?
We'll hope for it. We'll try to protect you.
Thank you.
After all, you're the magic one.
I mean, I don't have a sword that's on fire.
But you explode the apples.
Yes, I do not have any apples in my inventory.
Presumably you exploded them.
You enter the subterranean comet.
Condition enabled. Appearance.
We once again see nothing. Ah, update your enabled. I see a thing.
As you go into your left, I'll have to fix Beth.
I fixed it. I'm fixed. I remembered what happened last time.
To your left, you see a smaller version of the sigil that's also glowing.
Well, perhaps that is the open and close.
Hope so.
Oh, look, a skull.
Oh, that's not recent, is it?
I bet it's as recent as the cart.
Does it look recent?
Does it look as recent as the cart, even?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were asking to Milan. No, that is an old, old skull.
Oh, perhaps it is older than the cart.
That's been here for a long time.
Is it a human skull?
Yeah, humanoid, at least. Mm. Once they get to a certain point of decay, they're kind of hard to tell apart.
That's true.
You can tell sorry skulls because they don't have their ears are different, basically. And they've got different teeth. Mm. But
what about all these... are there actually candles here?
There are candles. They're not lit. That's an artifact of them.
Okay. Interesting.
Tamilin's
going to grab one of the candles and tuck it away just in case of...
Okay.
But not light it.
You're wandering on your own a little there.
I've never been in one of these before. Is that...
Perhaps if you... Another skull?
Well,
Looks like a couple of them.
There's other skulls here, but there's also looks like a jar.
Don't break it. They don't actually have coins in them nearly as much as you'd think.
Why would I break it? We're here to collect knowledge, not smash things.
You would be surprised by some of the people I've worked with.
Yes. I take it that the skulls that we're seeing are the ancient ones, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I am going to take a look at jar.
Okay. It's a, your standard ceramic jar. It doesn't have anything in it.
Why does darkness not go away for me?
I don't know.
It goes away when Tamilin walks near it, but it doesn't go away when I do. And for some reason, I'm seeing Tamilin's eyesight and not mine.
Oh, that's weird.
I do the thing that one does in Skyrim where I approach the jar. I know it's empty, so I look inside of it. And then I look inside of it again. And then I remind myself that it was empty, and I knew that already.
Is there a lot of rope over here?
Yes.
Is it ancient rope, or is it...
It's not
vintage
ancient.
Of the cart?
It looks about the vintage of the cart.
Oh, look, here's the rope from the cart.
And that's a drop.
Well, you shouldn't leave your rope up at the top of it.
How far down is the drop? Can we see?
It keeps going.
I think we should explore up here first, and then we can decide if we want to follow the ill-fated prior explorer and learn from their mistakes.
I look for a small rock and drop it.
Okay, the side of the drop is not, it's not perfectly vertical, so the rock goes ping, 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 ping. You don't hear it hit the bottom.
I'm in favor of not exploring over the side of that, with or without rope.
Oh, it might be fine.
It might be. I'm concerned with the other option.
I don't think the rope's long enough.
I do wonder why it's all pulled up and around like that.
Also, I'm not sure I trust rope that's been here a while.
Oh, no, I wouldn't trust their rope.
Yeah, I'm not sure ours is long enough either. Oh,
I've only got 50 more skeletons. Feet of, that's a...
This
group has their bodies, more or less.
This does not look like a respectful burial.
The skulls didn't look like a respectful burial either.
Well, you never know.
No, but those could be explorers who did foolish stuff. This,
the skulls could have been placed there as an honoring to the ancestors. Some people are like that. This, however, does look like a lot of,
Oh, there's more over here.
Yeah, there's a lot of skeletons here. Ah, heck, are we going to have to fight skeletons? Is this a skeleton place?
I suppose it might be. Oh, do some of them wear armor? How badly damaged is it?
That's not actually armor. It's a cultural shirt of some kind.
Gently. If it looks... All right, let's try to figure out what vintage this is and sketch it if we have to, unless they look like they're prior adventurers. But if they're old enough, then they might be information too.
They are definitely information.
Let's sketch the bodies and what they're wearing.
Hugh's gonna look over the bones to see where, if there's any parts that are broken. He doesn't think that he's gonna be able to discern an exact cause of death if it was something more subtle. But, like, I seem to have discovered why they died. They're missing the top half of their skull.
Right. There are notches on some of the ribs, but otherwise you can't really... Like, there's nothing really in common.
Mm.
Do they look like they fell where they are and just moldered, or someone dragged them around?
They don't look like they were dragged here.
And there looks, is this a bundle of rocks or something, or they're like things?
It's a pile of fallen masonry.
Okay.
This place is not in the best condition.
All in favor of not loitering where a bunch of people met their untimely demise?
It's entirely possible that they merely got caught down here and decided to all suicide instead of dying of starvation.
It's also possible that there's some type of, you know, scentless natural gas that, you know, just asphyxiates you without thinking about it.
Maybe we should have brought a canary. Oh, look, there's more. Oh, my, what have we got down here?
Okay, so is it weird that, you know, it's a little unnerving to find some skulls, and then you find some dead bodies, and that's more unnerving, and then you find more dead bodies, and that's a bit more unnerving, and... Then the third time you find dead bodies, it's like, oh, look, there's more over here.
Well,
this one's got a shield with some arrows in it.
Time to pull out the sketchbook again.
It's a very old shield. The wood is probably the wood and metal are probably still good. But it is not a design any of you recognizes.
Sketch the shield.
Well, that's interesting.
Make a rubbing of any inscriptions on the shield. At this rate, I'm going to have to put a skill point into some kind of archaeological skill. Drawing, maybe. I have graceful. I hope that won't... Q.
In front of you, the... Hang on. Where's my ping the map thing? Anyway, the wall has collapsed up here to the upper left, and there is a viable walkway behind it.
We can scrabble up and get onto the walkway here.
Oh, this is the walkway.
Ah, all the scrabbly stuff here.
Yeah.
This is the way?
It's
the Mandalorian appears.
No.
Oh, look, more rope.
This one has rope getting down. And a skeleton.
No, this is actually a rope leading up.
Oh.
The perspective is weird, but yes, this is an elevation.
I was going to ask who dies at the top of a bottomless pit, but I am going to guess that this is someone who perhaps lost hold of their rope.
Does it look like a smashed, like someone impacted the ground and, well?
Yes. And this is a much newer body than the other ones. It's still, like, mostly skeletal, but it is only mostly skeletal. that hasn't had time to age into that old bone that you saw in the rest of the place. The rope is fairly high quality. It's still usable.
Shall I yank on it?
Poor luck, friend.
Shall I yank on the rope?
If you like.
Does anyone object to me yanking on the rope?
Let me stand
Let me stand over here in case for some reason...
If you pull a piton or grappling hook loose, it's going to come down at speed.
Then I will vacate the location if it seems that something is coming down at speed. If the rope goes slack, I will move.
You'll have to be a scurrying snake.
I'm very speedy. I have speed defense training, I do believe.
Are you just pulling on the rope or are you trying to climb it?
Just yanking it to see if it's securely...
It's secure. Whatever it's tied to at the top is really firmly in there.
Oh, I'm interested now.
So we're not going to take this passage in this direction over here or that one over there to the right?
All right, all right. We will come back to the rope later.
Okay, because I'm just saying I'm not good at climbing things and I don't want to be left alone down here.
I will...
He says as he wanders off on his own.
I thought we agreed that I was going to go in the front.
Yeah, but your icon on the map doesn't have a light source, and mine does.
Yeah, it does. The sword is flaming.
Yes, but is it actually glowing?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, because it doesn't.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like it is for me.
That's because you have the brighter one.
My torch. Yeah, my torch shines with the illumination of the sun. I dimmed it
yes,
so
I
darn
don't
much.
Have anything. I don't have anything, and therefore when you people wander off, I am left in the darkness.
Dimly, far above you, you can see the remains of a bridge.
Ooh. Well, that's fascinating. We should watch for things falling off it.
Seems to be about the same height as the top of that cliff.
Anyone else think we entered at the wrong floor?
No.
Wait. Okay. So we went down just below ground level, but there's a really tall cliff.
Yes.
Was there a really tall hill?
Yes.
Okay.
The entrance was in a depression in the ground. A holler, if you will.
Okay. What is this?
That is a chasm.
It looks like there's something glowing here.
Oh, yeah, that's an artifact of the map. It's not actually glowing.
People have left... little candles and whatnot around.
Yeah.
Good news, everyone.
If you're very careful, you can make your way back to where Hugh dropped the rope.
Oh, look.
Is that the same rope we found when we first looked for rope?
It's the same rope.
Ah.
Yes, it's the same rope.
We have done a circuit.
Of that part.
Yeah, there's more here.
I love how this is an audio recording, and we're just slowly moving around this map, not describing what we see, but... It's like, yes, you see more cave, and over here there's more cave, and here is a precipice that you don't go near, and over here is, well, you've been in this cave before.
This is a park cave we've been in before.
I was about to say, listeners, I'm enjoying watching them wander around the cave.
If only I could see where we'd wandered before.
This is why I'm going to have to go and start making a map. A sketchy little map.
Oh, that is really interesting.
We seem to be back at
the rope that goes up.
Yep.
To a bridge.
Did we go up this way before? That's a chasm. No. We don't need to go that way. There's a chasm. Oh, here's a walkway.
This is the bit you've been in before.
Oh.
Well, that's weird.
What's that?
I couldn't find the single place that the wall was open. More chasm.
We're gonna have to climb that rope, aren't we?
Well, unless there's some other places to go here. We can always spend more time recording the things on all of those other bodies. Actually, does this body have pockets?
Unfortunately, they're wearing women's
clothing. Well, when you're looking at on the ground.
The pockets are sewed shut.
Yeah, it does.
Well, what has it got in its pockets is...
A hobbit.
Respectfully go through its pockets.
Okay. I won't ask for a roll for this. The body has a pair of knives, some lockpicks, a pack of playing cards, some adventuring gear in a moldering pack that seems to be equally moldering. You could get some pythons off it.
Might be worthwhile.
It did have a torch, but it's rotted. Q.
Ellie, was I here before in this part of the map?
Were.
Okay, yes. Because I don't remember seeing that thing glowing over there.
That's odd. That's not supposed to be there. It moved for some reason.
That's concerning.
I probably dragged it when I wasn't paying attention.
Okay. That was the glowing rune at the entrance.
Yeah.
But it got moved through a wall to a different spot, and I was like, why is the dead body glowing? Is this because I told you this episode is going to come out close to Halloween?
Well, apologies, our fellow explorer, but anything that's actually still in good condition, I think Tamilan is going to
appropriate.
Pocket is perhaps. Yeah.
Okay.
Safeguard.
A bit of that.
Keep in memoriam.
Honestly, the knives deserve better than to molder away like this.
Okay.
Add a few more knives to her. Oh dear, there's rolling. If there's any kind of information on the identity, she would like to look for it, but
there isn't. You do find a little device that you you're not sure what it is.
Examine the device. It's a cipher, isn't it?
It's thing that if you press a button, it clicks and it sends us back in time 500 years.
Oops.
No, it's a little metal ball with engravings on the outside, maybe an inch in diameter.
Well, that's fascinating. Are the engravings anything that... Do they look decorative, language, or representation?
It's nothing you've seen before.
That's definitely getting tucked away because it probably counts as information that our employers would want.
And probably also as treasure.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't particularly like the idea of climbing up there, but then again, I don't particularly like the idea of not, if there's no other way to get to that bridge.
Well, then,
did we bring
why don't we take a 5-minute break, and then you can decide which one of you goes first.
Hopefully the one who has the climbing skill.
Yeah.
That would be not me.
Perhaps we should go out and fetch some more, rope. I hope we had rope.
I brought 50 feet of it with me. What, are you saying that you two came in here without taking your supplies out of the cart?
I mean, I took some of my supplies.
Let's take a break.
Yeah. If you is back.
The button is pressed. Again. For the first time, not for the last time. Actually, that wasn't the first time either. Anyway.
Indeed.
The little numbers going up.
Numbers go up. Clicky, clicky, numbers go up. So. The question is if we want to go up.
And if so, who wants to go first?
I'm the one with climbing skill.
You are.
I should get a rope that we know is good.
I mean...
Perhaps
I have
two.
A rope.
We might have to... Let's get two ropes.
How are we going to get it up there?
Me?
Well, here.
Take rope. Wind rope. Stow gear. Possibly leave the bow down here, honestly. It rankles, but I do have some knives of my own. And yank real hard, like putting full weight onto this old rope here.
It seems to be fine.
Carefully examine it as high up as I can get to without trusting my life to it and, you know, see if it looks like it's been decaying horribly.
Not really.
Perhaps it is enchanted rope. Let's hope.
Well, it's also not, like, these skeletons were almost mummifying before they were skeletonized. Hmm. It's not like there's anything in here that would eat ropes.
No little mice.
If there are little mice, they're running up and down the rope, but not...
Not chewing on it?
Chewing on it.
Well?
It's not like they've taken everything away for nesting material. Some of those shirts were still, you know, you could tell that they were still shirts.
That's true.
So is this a might thing, or because I'm
I'll
a little pointed?
I'll let you roll speed, and you've got a climbing skill, so I'll let you apply that as well.
Okay.
Difficulty is 3 to get to the top.
Difficulty is 3. I have climbing skill level trained. That doesn't count as an asset, does it? Oh, it already added that.
Yeah.
Can I put a effort into spend some of my speed pool to put effort into that?
Sure.
Okay. I think that's how it goes. Okay. Roll them.
With a 13, you get up there just fine. Just a moment. Maybe. I will, because it is a, oh, hang on. I have to turn the ghost mode on.
We just watch the snack go up into the darkness.
I seem to have a slight miscalculation.
You can't
You're
see
not
anything
the one with
up
the
there.
Light. It's a bit dark up here. Presumably I can feel my way around into some sturdy...
Well,
yes.
Here. Lower the rope, and I'll tie the torch to the end, and you can take the torch up there.
No, I can
tie it at an angle where it doesn't burn the rope.
Not a lit torch.
I have a candle, and hopefully I have something that I can use to light it.
Sure, you have flint and tinder.
Okay. We're going to spend a little bit of time working in the dark with whatever vague light I can scavenge from, close to the edge. Hold your torch up higher, and I will light a candle, and I'm not sure if I can make my light source do the good. Thank you. Okay, is there anything here that I can anchor a...
Yes, there's this quite sturdy python. Driven into the ground.
All right. I will carefully poke at the thing and make sure that it is definitely sturdily.
Yeah, it doesn't move at all.
Okay.
Whoever
secure
put this
a rope.
In there knew what they were doing.
Secure one of our ropes to it. Say, bring up the pythons from our helpful but late friend down there, would you? In case we need more.
All right.
I've got iron spikes, too, here that haven't been sitting in a cave for who knows how long.
It's always good to have extra. I'm going to suggest that Steinem should come up first. Because then, together, we can lower a rope for Hugh. And we can drag Hugh up.
Okay.
Does this have to be a speed roll?
No, you can use mine.
Okay.
I love that you and Hugh are similar enough that there can be puns done with this. I haven't thought of good
of
one
course.
Yet, but situationally, this can occur.
One ought to show up eventually.
You know, it's in his backstory that he was the hero of a small town because he stopped a bunch of priests who were from a local monastery who were... terrorizing people's gardens by planting flowers that they didn't want, cutting down the flowers that they already had. Hugh managed to get rid of them where nobody else had been able to. And so the town celebrated that only Hugh could stop Flora's friars.
The GM has 1 XP. That's a 2 on the die.
It is.
It's difficulty but, 0.
But a level
Steinem
of effort
take
was
a luck
used.
Point. I said Steinem should take a luck point.
Because of failed roll.
Yes. Actually,
since I have
Steinem
3 of 3.
That should be 3 of 5.
We all started with 3?
Yes.
Can I use them to re-roll?
You should have 3.
I have 3 of 3.
I have fixed that.
Yeah, you can use it to re-roll.
Are we using...
the standard luck rolls.
Well, the standard luck rolls for which setting?
For the listeners at home, probably Tales of the Valiant.
Okay.
3 to reroll, 1 to bump the roll up by 1. Actually, if you spend 1, you'll bump your roll up to 3, and that'll succeed.
Oh, I thought the difficulty was 3.
Oh, it is. Sorry, I misread the roll. Yeah, okay, you're going to want to reroll that.
Well, wasn't the level of effort used?
Yes, to drop it to 2. So the difficulty was 3. The level of effort dropped the difficulty to 2.
My brain was stuck in yesterday's game mode of D&D where I spend effort so I add to my roll. No, bring number down, not number up.
Anyway, an 18
look at
succeeds. Yes. You scramble up the rope, and I have ghost mode, so I can just push you up.
With an 18, you fly up the rope as if you weren't even touching it. Matter of fact, you don't even let go of your sword. Zoom. All right. So now it's just Hugh down here with the corpses.
Let's lower a rope and drag Hugh with some knots in it and put a little knot at the end, you know, to put your foot into a little loop, and then perhaps we shall drag Hugh up.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Hugh can see Steinan's torch from down here at the bottom of the cliff, right? Well, not torch, but sword.
Yes.
So
he is holding it up again.
Yeah. So I can see the edge of the cliff.
Yes.
All right. So as they are lowering the rope carefully so that Hugh can ascend up this thing that Hugh has never done before. This is Hugh's first time as an adventurer. And unlike a previous character, he's not averse from calling himself an adventurer. But there's certain parts of adventuring that are a bit more exciting than he would like, having previously had a career of, I ride in a cart and make sure the ox knows where to go, but the ox already knows where to go. So, Hugh's looking up there and thinking, I'd rather just be up there. It's like, I'm okay starting here. I'm okay ending there. It's the part in between that I don't like. If I could just sort of skip ahead. And Hugh will end up using one of his abilities. This will be the first time that Hugh has ever used this ability canonically. But it is on his character sheet. He's using Farstep with an intellect. Why is my intellect 16 again? Oh, let's fix that. Because I used an ability before. My intellect should be 15 out of 16. But now I'm using another 2-point ability. So now it's going to go down to 14. And the thing about Farstep is I need a clear and unobstructed path to that location. It doesn't say I need to see it clearly, just clear and unobstructed. There can't be something in the way. I land safely. It does take an action to use. And this goes up to long range, which in Cypher system means up to 100 feet is the...
Yes, it's plenty.
Okay. So as they're lowering the rope, picture this, dear listeners. They get the rope down to Hugh. They're checking to see if he's getting onto it so they can pull him up. And then Hugh is standing next to them while the rope is still lowered.
Blink. Blink. Blink.
Okay. That's a thing that happened.
Are you having fun being a mage?
I didn't know I could do that. More importantly,
the bachelor's learned a thing.
I didn't know that would happen. That's the more important thing. I was not expecting to suddenly be at the top of a cliff.
That's useful. Also, now we don't have to worry about you leaving the torch down there.
I'm going to stand over here next to this person who died at the top of the cliff. Weren't we talking about that before? Oh, there's someone else over there with an arrow in their shield.
Yes, and in fact, both of the corpses have many arrows in them.
Oh, that's why they died at the top of the cliff. There was,
Why don't you let me go in front, in case of arrows?
Take a moment. I want to get some rubbings of the shield designs. And also examine the arrows. I would like to know more about these arrows and the fletching. And, I'm gonna just take a roll. I would like to know what a beats difficulty 5 roll will give me about these arrows.
They are not an old design. The feathers used in the fletching come from birds that live on the tundra, where the humans are. The arrows themselves are pretty standard arrow wood. These bodies are of an age with the one at the bottom of the cliff.
In other words, it's likely these people came with the cart too.
Probably.
And I didn't find an arrow in the one at the bottom.
That's right.
I want to examine the other one.
This one looks like a priest of some kind. They have a symbol around their, on a chain around their neck that you don't recognize. And they're wearing what are probably vestments.
And also have arrows in them.
And also have arrows in
them. Flip out the notebook, do a quickie sketch of any designs, like on the priestly symbol.
Okay.
Well, when these people were here, someone else was here who had arrows.
Yeah.
I am going to take out my bow and make sure it is properly strung.
Well, if someone else sends us arrows, you'd want to return the favor.
Indeed. I would like to return the favor. Possibly even I would return the arrow if it wasn't stuck in us. Swiftly. And hopefully with great precision.
And let both us of let us the have... person with the full... Yeah. Both of us decided that Steinan is right in deciding that they're going first. So we're just going to stand here until Steinan moves forward.
I wasn't sure if we were done.
Reasonable.
It's what's amusing to me is before we ascended the cliff and saw all the arrows in the two corpses, I in particular had my character moving all over the map regardless.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like, well, no,
this
I'm
looks
gonna...
like a large chamber.
Oh,
with lots of
circles.
Offerings.
Circles mean magic frequently. Oh, books.
Yep.
We can carry books.
Scrolls! And a skull is scrolls. A paperweight.
At least that skull's made of gold.
Is it made of gold or is it simply gilt?
Well, it's pretty small.
You can't tell.
It's covered in pollen.
Oh, no!
That's
you go
a
to
trap!
Pick it up. You go to pick it up. It poofs into a cloud because it actually was made out of pollen.
You are in a large chamber with decorations on the floor. In the center of the chamber, that should not be hostile.
I was going to say, I just moused over that and there's a red square around that big circle thing.
In the center of the chamber is a very large, like as tall as the standing stone, sphere of rock with that's just covered with inscriptions.
The inscriptions none of them like the little ones that was on that little sphere I just picked up off the dead body.
No.
Okay.
These are completely foreign to you. The rest of the room is filled with various accoutrements of study. There are books, scrolls, papers. There is a standing, what do you call that? It's got paper on it, and on the paper is a diagram of the sphere.
Well,
you mean the thing that looks like a chalkboard?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so the graphic is a chalkboard, but it's more like an easel.
Yeah.
And now I'm picturing the stuff that I use at school, where it's a big pad of yellow paper that the top of it is sticky, and you could tear off a sheet and stick it to the wall so you could write on it underneath. I'm assuming that's not what this is, but that's the image that I'm fighting to get out of my head. Hugh is definitely going to be interested in taking a look at this.
There are wrapped and bound mummies lying around the room. Like they're wrapped in linens, like swaddled basically in linens, and then bound with rope.
Hugh is not interested in looking at them at all. He would like to pretend they're not there right now.
Checking out the rope. Is this ancient rope, or is this...
Yes.
This is not like the other adventurers were wrapping the rope around them to lower them down that cliff.
No, this is ancient rope.
We don't have to bring the mummies, do we? That seems rude.
I would prefer to not
put
the mummies
on the cart.
Oh,
I found the problem in Foundry.
Uh-oh.
Other people's shadows take precedence over mine. So when other people move their light in a way that casts shadows, it goes into my field of view and covers it up.
Oh, that's a problem.
That's weird.
Yeah, it's not that my light isn't working. It's that other people are moving and finding shadows, and then those shadows cover up my screen.
They shouldn't be doing...
No, they shouldn't, but
they
are.
That's why it's a problem.
Yes, the weird thing is that it's not doing it for us.
Can I move your token real quick?
Yes. Yeah, I can see just fine over there.
Okay.
But when other people move and their lights go off obstructions, I get shadows covering up like half of my little sphere of light.
And that covered up your sphere of light?
Mm.
I get a deep shadow, but it's only one that my shadow's, mine's working okay, it seems like.
Odd. When I click on your token, I see what I expect to see. That's weird.
Is it doing weird things now?
Mm. Yes. Okay. Well, maybe. I'm not sure. But I can now see the space we've explored.
That's good.
I can't.
If you want to see the space we've explored, when you're looking at your character, like you right click on the character, click on the gear, and I'm talking about the icon on the map, and yes, under vision. Vision range right now for you is likely zero. You can increase that.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't reveal parts of the map you haven't seen. You still have to go to the map to reveal it. But once you've revealed it, I think, then you can see
it. I don't know if
it.
We should. I have
my breathing is going a little weird. I'm not sure I'm up to keep playing.
Okay, we can end it here.
Is there a drop-off that I'm looking at just on the other side of the giant sphere?
No, that's a wall where I put the wall room.
Oh, okay. Okay. I am happy to end off here so that Io can breathe.
Breathing is generally good.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm going to take these headphones off now.
Okay. Well, in that case, we're going to end off here. Thank you, everyone, for playing. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Tonight, I've been joined by Beth, Crash, and Io. And I hear that Io's mom writes books.
At ElizabethMcCoy.com, you can find a list, and you can go check out like half of most of the novels at Smashwords as a sample. You can ask your library to buy the ebooks, or you can check them out on Hoopla. And speaking of cool things.
Well, I put all the stuff that I make over at AaronBSmith.com, and the podcasts are at AaronBSmith.com/cogwheel. Where you can go to find all the various campaigns that we do, including this one. Yay! Each campaign has its own RSS feed to subscribe to it, but you can also subscribe to what I refer to as the fire hose, which is the main RSS feed. You get all of them, but I only release two a week, so it's not technically a fire hose. We also have a Patreon, patreon.com/cogwheelgaming, where you can help us keep the lights on, which is great because I had to use a torch today. For only $2 a month, you can have us actually have lights as opposed to torches. Just saying. It's a thing. Yes, I have a dark vision cipher. That's besides the point. That's a one-time use thing. But you'd be able to join other illustrious patrons, including Ellie, Shanshan, Walter, Liv Droman, and Patron America's Cindy.
And until next time, this is Ellie saying that's what the warrior in the adept and the Rogue would say, if they could say anything. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
And so, now you all have an asset in finding big strange spheres with runes carved all over them. No, I don't think that comes up very often. Why do you ask?
I have concerns about being an object lesson.
Well, that's an object, and this was a lesson. Get used to it.
Mm-hmm. No.
Good night, everybody.
Bye. Ha ha ha.